Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. Welcome, whether you're here in person or on Zoom. It's great to be together on this Sunday morning to worship God and to hear from him. And we're particularly pleased to have Heather with us from Compassion UK. And we look forward to what you have to say to us later, what you have to share with us. It's very good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for coming. I've only been given one notice to give this morning, and that's that there will be a short Easter service during tomorrow's coffee stop. That's at 11 a.m. and all are welcome to that. So yeah, do please come along if you want to come to that tomorrow at 11 during tomorrow's coffee stop. Thank you. Well, last week, a bit out of sequence, we went through the whole of the Easter story with at our all-age Easter service. This week, we're back into the proper sort of timing, if you like, of the events of Easter week, because today is Palm Sunday. So if I could just read some verses from Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And that very same prophet, that very same king is with us this morning. So if you can, let's stand and welcome the King of Kings who rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. Yes, indeed. We thank you that you're with us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, but that gentlest of kings who came riding on a donkey in humility. But we just thank you, Lord, that you are now raised on high to your rightful place at the right hand of your Father in heaven. But you are there, and the wonder is that you are here with each one of us too. And we just thank you for that. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. And we do indeed say, come, have your way among us.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Do please be seated. So we're going to hear from Heather now. She gives us her full age talk this morning. So welcome, Heather.
So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Really lovely to be here this morning, and have such a lovely welcome. Great.
So this is the all age talk. It's really aimed at the children, but I hope that the adults will enjoy it as well. So children, do I have any children in here? I think there are a few, aren't there? So I have got some activity books for you. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you first of all, because if I give you the books, I know what's going to happen. You're going to look at the books, hopefully, because they're quite interesting, and then you won't necessarily listen to me, but you can take them away. I will give them out at the end, or you can come and get one from me. There's a set for under eights. Who's under eight? I've got some under eights. And who's over eight? That's apart from the adults, obviously. Yeah. So there are some booklets, and there's some things you can fill in. There's some colouring to do. There's a maze search. There's a word search. All those interesting things, and you can take them home with you. If you answer the questions at some point, you can come and show them to me at coffee time. And I haven't got anything that interesting to give you. I've got a sticker. It's not that great. But anyway, sometimes people like stickers. So I want to tell you, I don't know whether you want to come any nearer or whether you're happy to be where you are, but that's fine. Okay, so I want to tell you about a little boy called Emmanuel. Before I do that, I want to ask you a question, and you can shout out the answers. I want to ask you what being poor means. What does it mean to be poor? Yes, somebody's got their hand up. Shout out nice and loud. Good, excellent answer. You don't have a house, maybe. You're homeless. You don't have lots of money. You don't have any money, maybe, or very little money. What else does it mean to be poor? What else might you, if you haven't got any money and you haven't got a house, what else might you not have? Friends? Yep, that's very true. You might not have any friends. Food? Yep, that's another thing you might not have. So being poor is not having the things in life which maybe we all take for granted. Somewhere to live, some clothes to wear, or maybe even a second set of clothes. Having enough food to eat. And someone said friends. Because actually, if you're poor and you smell a little bit and you don't look very nice, people are not necessarily that friendly with you. I want to ask you also another question. Sorry about this, but you know, it's good to ask questions. What is the difference between a need and a want? So what do we think a need is? First of all, what do we need in life? Yes, thank you. Brilliant. That's a wonderful answer. I was just going to repeat that in case you didn't all hear it. But a want is needing things that we must have, like something to eat, a house, going to school. A want is what we need. Having the things in life that can keep us going. The things that we perhaps take for granted in this country very often, but we know that a lot of people in this country don't have all the things that they need. But a want is maybe some of those extra things that you want, like a new toy, like a computer game, like having a nice holiday, having a bigger house, having really lovely food, going to restaurants. Those are things that we would like to have sometimes, but they're not things that we have to have. Now, 2.3 million children over the whole world are sponsored through Compassion. And they have, they are sponsored through people like yourselves, and I'm going to talk to the adults a little bit more about it later on. But there's money given so that they can have the things that they need. And sometimes they get the things that they want, so they might get a little gift for a birthday or something like that. But they can also get to hear about Jesus as well, the same as we can, because we need to hear about Jesus. So I want to tell you the story about a young man. He's called Emmanuel. And he lives in a country called Tanzania. Does anybody know where Tanzania is? Which part of the world is it? Africa. Excellent. Sometimes I bring a globe. I didn't bring it this morning because sometimes it's quite difficult to work out where some of these countries are. So he lives in Tanzania. And he's a welder. Okay, so what's a welder? Not necessarily a job that you may have come across. Who knows what a welder is? Somebody's going to tell me, yes, thank you. Well done. Somebody who works with metal. And they might join different pieces of metal together. They might make things from metal, or they might mend things made of metal, like a bicycle or a car. But they weld them together. Anyway, this little boy called Emmanuel, he had to live with his grandparents. He was quite little. Maybe he was under eight, I'm not sure. He had to live with his grandparents because his mother had divorced. She'd got remarried, and very sadly, the father, the husband, didn't want Emmanuel to live with them. That's a really sad circumstance, isn't it, when you can't live with your mum. So he lived with his grandparents, and he lived in quite a small village, and a lot of the boys in that village, they all did the same kind of job. They were shepherds, but not of, I'm not quite sure, but he was a shepherd of cattle. I'm not quite sure that works, but anyway, that's what the story said. He said he looked after cattle, which meant he had to take them to graze in fields, bring them back at night time. He had to look after them, and because of that, he couldn't go to school very frequently, which meant he wasn't learning. And when he went home in the evening, he sometimes received a meal, and sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he only had one meal a day, maybe something at lunchtime that his grandparents had packed up for him. So he would often go to bed hungry. Can you imagine that? Going to bed without anything to eat in the evening. Sometimes he had porridge for breakfast, but then it meant he perhaps didn't have anything until the evening. And not only that, he didn't have a proper bed, didn't have a bed to sleep on. Can you imagine not having a bed to sleep on? And he slept on the floor with the cattle. Pretty smelly, don't you think? Pretty smelly. And pretty hard. And maybe he had some straw. But so he really didn't have a very good life. He didn't really have much of a future. And his mother used to visit sometimes and bring him some things, bring him some food if she could afford it. She used to sell milk, probably on the streets. Milk in little plastic bags, probably. Not even in like cartons, that kind of thing. And Emmanuel couldn't understand why he couldn't be with his mother. She thought maybe she'd rejected him. He was obviously quite young. But one day she came and she had some really, really good news, because the Compassion Project had given him a place. So this Compassion Project, connected with a local church, had said, yes, there's a place for Emmanuel and he's going to have a sponsor. And it meant that he could go to this Compassion Project. He got given a uniform, maybe a shirt, a pair of trousers, so he could go to school. And he got given some paper and some pencils and just the basic things he needed. And he could also go maybe on a Saturday and learn how to play, how to have a nice time as a child. And also, when he was there, he learned a skill, which is where the welding comes in, because they realized he was quite good with his hands. They taught him how to weld, how to join pieces of metal together. And it meant that when he left school, he'd had an education, he knew things, but he was also skilled in something. And so he could mend things, he could make things, he could earn a living. And not only that, he was a really generous man. He became a teacher of others, so that he went back to the project and taught some of the young children there how to do welding, or young people, maybe they're in their teens. And also he helped people in his village to mend things. And he sort of mentored them. So it wasn't just that he'd got helped, he then helped other people. And also his sponsor, knowing that he didn't have a bed, sent him some money and he bought, not a whole bed, he bought a mattress which he could put on the floor and sleep on. So he actually looked forward to going to bed at night. Anyway, he's now 28. Okay, so that's quite old, isn't it, 28? Quite a bit older than some of you children. He's married and he's got a 2-year-old daughter. And what he's most proud of is not only has he built a house, a little house, it's got doors and windows, which might seem amazing to you, but to have a house with doors and windows and a proper floor and so on is really good. But he's made a bed for his daughter. He's built her a bed. I imagine it's made out of metal, out of iron, and he's welded it. And it's got a lovely headboard on it with hearts, apparently. Can you imagine that? Just like a little girl would love. And she doesn't have to sleep on the floor. And it's all because of the help that he got through being sponsored by Compassion. So I hope you remember that story. And I will just, what have I done with the booklets? Here they are. So I will give out some booklets. Who would like one for under eights? Who's under eight? You can own up to it. Okay. 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 So I will give out these booklets. If I can get them out. Would you like a booklet? Okay. I'm going to leave them here. These are the under eight ones. And there's some pencils. Or you can just look at them. Okay, and the over eights, I think I've got somebody that's over here, eight here. Are you both over eight? There we are. And there's one over there. Okay. There we are, young man. And a pencil. Okay, and a pencil. Okay, and there's an over eight there.
Yes, my love, there you go.
Okay, there we are, there's some pencils there. Right, I think that's all my pencils. I've got some pens somewhere else. Okay. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Heather. Yeah, and thank you for telling us the difference that Compassion has made in the life of not only Emmanuel himself, but, you know, the ripple on effect of all his family. Could we take up the offering, please? Peter's doing a wonderful job multitasking here this morning. Thank you. Father God, we thank you for that reminder of how we can make a difference in the lives of others by our giving. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have given us. So many things that we have to fulfill our needs and also our wants. We just thank you for your generosity to us, and we pray that you will enable us to be generous in return. You have given us everything, and so we ask that you would bless what we have given back to you in return, and that you would use it both here in this community and wider afield, Lord, to make a difference to people's lives, not only in practical ways, but most importantly, in introducing them to you. Amen. Thank you. So it's time for the children and the young people to go to their groups and to creche. So as I read earlier on, we're thinking about the fact that King Jesus came into Jerusalem Jerusalem riding on a donkey. We've given him some praise. We've welcomed him here this morning. But let's continue to worship and give praise to King Jesus. Thank you. speak out words of praise and adoration to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has given us so much, who has given us everything.
Some words from Mark's Gospel. For the Passover feast, many Jews were at the temple in Jerusalem. When the news arrived that the Lord Jesus was coming, they ran outside and with reverence covered the path with palm leaves and cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" Then came, not a golden coach pulled by 6 white horses, Jesus was humbly riding on a donkey. At the temple, officials and the pharaohs were jealous of Jesus' popularity and condemned him. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
In different things, you know, you give me the strength to at least try to overcome different problems. And if it wasn't for you, I don't think I'd be doing that course through my life. But as time goes on, I'm finding things harder. And it's only the fact of you that makes it so that I'm bothering, I often feel like throwing in the towel. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for the fact of you and what you gave us by what you've done at Calvary. Amen.
Oh Lord, we just thank you that we can meet this morning to praise your name, to give you thanks, Lord. Lord, we're hearing about compassion, man's compassion to man, but your compassion for each one of us is amazing, Lord. You knew when man fell, when man's sin separated us from you, that you provided a way back to yourself, Lord, through Jesus, Lord. That sacrifice on the cross for each one of us, Lord, your compassion and your love for each one of us. We just thank you that today we can meet together in your name because of your love, because you're a risen God, Lord. You reign on high. We want you to reign in our lives as well. Reign that we might be witnesses for you, Lord, that we might show your compassion to others too, Lord, as you've shown compassion to each one of us, Lord. Just thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. It's undeserved, Lord, but in your love, in your mercy, we can do great things, Lord, in your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In royal robes. You call us family. We're your children. We're your sons, your daughters. Amen. Lord God, we have a destiny that we cannot even consider or imagine, Lord. What will it be like to be part of your royal family in heaven? Father, how do we ever, ever, ever thank you for that? How can we ever, Lord, give back to you what you deserve? You know we can't. And you don't even ask it. But I thank you so, so much, Lord, that you broke into my life, our lives, God, and changed everything. You changed everything. And we so, so bless you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you.
But you are alive, Lord. Death couldn't hold you, Lord. You just broke free from that tomb, Lord. And you're with us, Lord, today. With us every day, Lord. And as I said, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it at all, Lord. But you're with us. And you desire to be with us, Lord. How amazing is that? Thank you, Lord.
Anne's impassioned prayer reminded me, or brought to mind, the words of a song that we sometimes sing. May I never lose the wonder of your mercy. Lord, forgive us when we do lose that sense of wonder, that sense of just complete realization of what it is you've done for us, what you've rescued us from. Lord, day by day, may we never lose the wonder of your love and your sacrifice, your grace and your mercy to us. Amen. And the reading that Heather's going to be speaking from now is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1. I just feel, sort of overwhelmed by who God is and what he's done for us. Isn't it wonderful? And that's an understatement. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. Father, that perhaps is a passage that we don't understand so readily. Perhaps we're not sure what it means for each one of us. And so I pray that by your Spirit, you will anoint Heather now as she comes to speak to us, that we will hear not only from her about the work of compassion and the work that that people's generosity enables to happen, the changes that can take place because of people's generosities. But we also want to hear from you, Lord, to hear what you are saying to each one of us here this morning. Amen.
So the text that I chose for this morning was one I had read. In fact, it wasn't, I don't think, on a compassion website, but it was a Tear Fund Lent study. But it could have easily come from any Christian charity, Christian aid, or a compassion source. Because charities are pleading for help to those in desperate need all over the world, encouraging generosity for God's children. So I entitle my talk, Generosity Encouraged. And Paul is addressing the question of the collection of money for the distressed Christians in Jerusalem, which the Corinthians had started, but not completed. And he talks about the joy and the grace of giving on the part of believers that is more than matched by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the Macedonian Christians who, out of joy and out of their extreme poverty, extreme generosity had welled up, and they had freely given. They had given as much as they were able, and even beyond that. And he goes on to say that although he is not commanding them, he wants to test the sincerity of their love for Christ by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And he cites Christ himself, who had riches but became poor, so that through poverty he might become rich and we might become rich. And so what Paul is asking for is generosity and spontaneous giving from the heart, if you like. And he urges the Corinthians to finish the work that they had started. And then comes the last two verses. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. So what matters, says Paul, is a willingness, which is the motive for true generosity. No matter how small the amount that's offered, we remember the widow's offering, the widow's mite, as it was called. She gave a small coin. It was all she had, but she did it out of generosity through her poverty. So what am I saying to you as a congregation this morning? As Alison said, it's quite a complicated piece of the Bible, and I'm not a theologian. I'm not a preacher, but I'm just someone who wants to advocate on behalf of children living in poverty who have no voice. It says in Proverbs 31, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and defend the rights of the poor and needy." So what is poverty? I talked a little bit, didn't I, with the children about what poverty is, about not having what you need to live. And we all understand what poverty is. We've seen it on the television. We've heard about it in this country, people having to go to food banks, children not being fed properly, not having new shoes. So we know about poverty. So we could probably define it pretty well. But people in Rwanda were asked to define poverty. And some may resonate with you, and some may be surprising. Although actually, the children this morning were surprisingly insightful about poverty. And somebody also mentioned one of the things that comes at the end. So poverty is an empty heart. Poverty is isolation. Poverty is broken relationships. Poverty is not having the basics. Poverty is a lack of good thoughts. And poverty is the consequence of not sharing. Because poverty is not God's plan. But we are part of God's plan. And thanks to sponsors, God is using his church to transform the lives of people living in poverty all over the world. What poverty is injustice. And compassion offers hope and restoration. Poverty affects children. It affects children so badly, more so than adults, really. Poverty is a family having to take a child out of education, like Emmanuel, not being able to go to school because they have to work to supplement the family's income, just simply so they can eat and maybe have a roof over their head. But those living in poverty who are denied choices should not be made to feel worthless or inferior. We don't want to look down upon them. They must be empowered so they can fulfill their role in God's kingdom, just like you and I can fulfill our roles in God's kingdom. And they are part of the body of Christ that we read about in Corinthians 2. They play a vital part. Everyone plays a vital part. And when one part of the body is hurt, we all hurt, and we need to do something to alleviate the pain. But we need to place God at the centre. He is our saviour. We are not the saviours, he is. And we need to work through God to alleviate poverty. So what happens when a child is sponsored? It can be transformational for them, for their family, and even for their community. So I started sponsoring, I think it was 2010, a little girl, she was called Luida, in Guatemala. So that's in South America. Well, it's in the sort of middle bit, middle. Why did I do that? Well, I had actually just at that point gone through a period of great financial difficulty. But someone ensured I didn't lose my home. And that person, if you like, had riches and was spontaneously generous. They'd known me for a long time. But their plenty supplied what I needed. And luckily, thanks to God's intervention and friends, my problems were resolved. And I paid back what I owed. And I went to Spring Harvest. And I'd been before. And I think it was that year, but I'd heard about compassion before, but I hadn't done anything about it. But that year, somebody spoke at Spring Harvest. There was a video, and there was a stand with somebody there, volunteers, with children's profiles. And my daughter was with me, and she already sponsored. Both my children when they were, when they first started work, they both started sponsoring a child. And so she said to me, "Mum, you really ought to sponsor." And she's pretty bossy, actually. So I went over to the stand. But God had laid it on my heart to have a child, to choose someone. In fact, the woman, the lady behind the desk, I mean, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't think who to choose. So she chose for me. She said, "Why don't you sponsor this little girl?" And she graduated a couple of years ago at the age of 18, and she was going on to do some training in nursing. And I sponsor more children, and it's such a privilege. And so I'm here this morning to thank you for your generosity, for your willingness and your financial sacrifice in sponsoring 29 lovely children. And it's amazing. It's an amazing number of children, and I hope that it brings you real joy. So I think Quentin is going to put on the PowerPoint. And you're going to be able to see. So this is just the first one. That's obviously because I'm talking at this church this morning. So probably you can't see that clearly, but those are the children up there. Some of them are smiling. Some of them look quite stern. I was saying previously that often it's the first time they've had their photographs taken, and they're sort of stood against a wall. I don't know about you, but sometimes they seem to be standing up against a wall looking as if something dreadful's going to happen. And so they don't smile. But I think inside they're smiling because they know that they've been sponsored. This is a really, really big thing. And so these are the children. And it means that I'm saying to you this morning, thank you for your generosity. To be honest, I want more children to be sponsored. That's one of the reasons I'm here, but it's not the only reason I'm here. I want you to continue the work you've started in continuing to nurture and sponsor these children. And I know sometimes it can become a bit of a problem if finances are difficult, but they might not graduate till they're 18 or 21, but they've got a future before them. They're not living in the poverty that they were. And I can see some of you looking to see if you can find your children. You can have perhaps a look later on. Compassion children stay at school longer. They're more likely to have salaried employment. If you look at some of the profiles I've brought along, often their parents or their guardians are day labourers. They just line up in the streets, and I hope someone's going to pick them up and give them a day's work. But if you've got a salary, you're in a much better position, aren't you? And some of them go on to be leaders in their own communities and churches, and even beyond that. So let me just tell you a little bit about the impact that you've made. These children live in, I think, 14 different countries in Africa, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, Togo, and so on. And you know where they live. I don't get all that information. 20 are at primary school, so they're under 11. And 5 are in secondary school, and 4 of them are young adults. So they may be doing an apprenticeship, they may be doing further training. Sometimes it's the case that they don't actually go to school to so late that they actually can't graduate because they maybe haven't had enough schooling. So let's look at the next slide. So I don't know whether you can see that, but I'll read out the numbers. Over 27,000 hours your children have spent in projects at the compassion centres. Sometimes on a Saturday, sometimes during the week. It depends on the project, sometimes more than once a week. And that is time being nurtured, learning new skills, making friends, learning how to have good relationships, and being a child. They have had over 9,000 nutritious meals. And that means such a lot because it means that the meal is nutritious, it's well balanced, they're going to get a good meal and possibly on another day during the week. Plus, because the family is also part of this, it's not just the child, the family are involved too. They might get visits from someone who can help them with planning meals, giving the children what they need, and also food parcels. So that we don't think of these children in isolation. It's just the child. It's not. It's the whole family. They might have several brothers and sisters, but they will all benefit from this child sponsorship. They've also had checkups, medical checkups. It says 158. might be all kinds of things, vaccinations, checking for head lice, dental checkups, that kind of thing, just simply making sure that they are well. And they're also given Bibles, because at the heart of this is Jesus. They can be other faiths, but Jesus is at the centre of the project. They're connected with local churches. So you can quickly see there's more Bibles than there are children, but that's because they will have maybe received a second Bible when they've got a little bit older. So it's age appropriate. And on the next slide, it just gives a little bit of information about the financial side of it. So over £12,000 has been given in sponsorship money. That's your money that you pay each month, plus additional gifts. It's lovely, isn't it, if you can, to send a birthday gift. And sometimes you get some feedback and they tell you what they've bought. So I've got pictures of my sponsored children holding a pile of clothes or a new school bag. And one time, the little girl in Guatemala, she bought a cupboard, and the cupboard was to put my letters in, which was lovely. How many children this cupboard would buy a cupboard to put letters in? But she did. And she's there with her mother and they're smiling. And the letters are so important. 122 have been sent by the children, 71 by the sponsors. And it's so important because it encourages the children. It lets them know you're thinking about them. It doesn't have to be a long letter. It can just be a card. Sometimes you can send a photograph of yourself. I sent a photograph at Christmas with me wearing a red Santa hat, and that did get commented on. Sometimes you don't get a comment, but that was commented on. Sometimes it's just a picture from the garden of some flowers. When I talk about this, we're hoping spring's going to arrive, or a picture of my grandchildren, so that we've got that connection. So Compassion's model is to take each child and offer individual sponsorship. And it's a way of lifting them out of poverty and giving them hope and a future. And they do this in partnership with local churches in 29 countries throughout the world. And these churches know their community and their needs, and so can focus appropriate help. And Compassion has a holistic approach, as you probably realise from what I've been saying, looking after the physical and health needs, as well as the spiritual needs of the child, ensuring that every child feels loved and valued, and that they're nutritional, and nurtured as they grow, so that they can develop well, and that they learn to know Jesus as their saviour. And sometimes the child does that, and he or she goes home, and you do hear stories of the whole family coming to Jesus. And sponsors play a part in this. Because of the letters, you can send them some encouragement about your own faith, you can send them a Bible verse, you can give them encouragement at school, you can, if they tell you, for example, that they're going to be in the football team, you know, you can say to them, did you score a goal? It is frustrating sometimes that the answers don't always come back, but at least you know that they will have received that. I think it's sometimes hard for us to understand, well, why haven't they mentioned it? But it's because they're at the project, they haven't necessarily got the letter in front of them. It's hard. They're children. I hated writing letters as a child, particularly thank you letters. So we're offering encouragement, we're sharing faith, and ensuring that they feel loved. And God has a heart for the poor. You, through your sponsorship, have a heart for the poor. When we refresh and bless others through our giving, we are ourselves blessed and refreshed. And I love receiving the letters from my sponsored children, telling me of their hopes and their progress at school, their friendships, their growing faith, and the awareness that they're loved. And it's a joy to be connected. And sometimes, you know, maybe I'm feeling a little bit down, a little bit in despair about things, a little bit worried, you know, how we are sometimes. And a letter, I find a letter's pinged into my inbox. And I read it and it puts a smile on my face. I feel refreshed, I feel blessed. And particularly if there's a drawing, I mentioned earlier to the earlier service, sometimes the drawing is lovely. It's a bit weird though sometimes. I don't know whether you get what I would call weird drawings. I think they sit in their compassion project and they're told, you know, do a drawing for your sponsor. And they look around and they draw a kettle or a computer or a mug, just various things. Sometimes it's flowers, sometimes it's other things. And I know that the little girl I sponsored for about 10 years, she's got really good at her drawing. And sometimes I sent a drawing back. It wasn't anything like hers though. So that's lovely, isn't it? So God cares about the one. He cares about the one sheep, the one blind man, the one with leprosy, the one woman who touched his cloak and asked for healing. And he asked Peter and the disciples to continue his work. And he asks us too. And these are the words of a child, sponsored child. He's called Richmond. And he said, I felt I was nothing. I felt I didn't matter and that nobody cared to know my name. And he was telling his story and relating the transformational difference that sponsorship had made to him. He had grown up in the slums in Uganda. His father died when he was young, and he was forced to beg on the streets so that he could eat and maybe his mother and siblings could eat. And he believed he didn't matter. He thought that no one even cared to know his name. And I don't know, how would you feel in that situation if you knew of somebody in your own family or a child that was in that situation? But the thing is, our Father knows all our names, and he has plans for us. He knows the names of the children you sponsor. He knows the names of the children other people sponsor, and he knows the names of the children who have no sponsors, children all over the world. And God had big plans for Richmond. In the Bible, Jesus called the fishermen by name, Simon and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, and he had big plans for them. He had plans for them to teach them and to prepare them to go out and spread the good news. And he challenged them, and his teaching and power transformed their lives. And what Jesus does is he calls us to be part of his plan despite our flaws and failings. So what happened to Richmond? This child who would often go without food, he was sponsored through compassion because God gave him a name and laid it on someone's heart to sponsor him and make a difference. Just like Emmanuel, who I talked to the children about, his life had been transformed. And Richmond is now running a ministry that equips pastors across Africa. And I mean, there's a big story. Richmond, I think, was in this country. I don't know whether he still is, but he was speaking at a compassion conference, which I was unable to go to, sadly. But it's amazing the impact that this one person has had on others. God's kingdom works one at a time, saving one at a time, and then rejoicing. World poverty is an overwhelming issue, and we can't see how to battle it, how to solve it, how to work together as nations. And it's easy to become disengaged, isn't it? When we see stuff on the television, it's just heartbreaking. But because each compassion child has a name, a face, and is an individual, and God's kingdom model shows us how, through this, how to tackle poverty and hopelessness one child at a time. And God encourages us to be generous, just as Paul encouraged the early Christians. And he wants us to experience the joy of giving and sharing. And if you sponsor a child, you will already know that joy. We can send a child to school. We can make sure that they're well fed, while we perhaps leave it to others to work out how to eradicate poverty. It costs £32 a month. That's a little over £1 a day. And £1 a day doesn't sound very much on its own. It doesn't buy very much in this country, does it? About a third of a cup of coffee if you go out. It goes very little. But of course, when you put it all together, £32 a month out, going out each month, is a big commitment. And so I realise that's a big ask. And it can leave a hole in an already tight budget. And God doesn't want us to be in need and want ourselves. But maybe it's something you can pray about. Maybe later on you can say, right, I am ready now to do that, like I was. I'm ready now. I can actually give something back. And you can pray. It's really important. Obviously, compassion needs our prayers, and the children need our prayers. And we can pray for others to come forward and be generous. And we know that when one child is sponsored, it has such an impact, not only on that child, but upon the family itself, or the caregivers, and on the community. And as I said, generosity is not confined just to gifts of money, but to gifts of kindness, to gifts of love, of sharing our hope in Christ, and gifts of prayer. And today is Palm Sunday, and we look towards Easter, when Christ was to die to save us. We are saved by grace. God's generosity and sacrifice saves us. But for me, that means I want others to receive God's grace by giving them the opportunity to know Jesus, our Saviour, and to be lifted out of a life of poverty and to have a future. So I've got with me today some child profiles. I've just got two here. Too many bits of paper. There is Niall, and he's age 3, and he lives in the Philippines, and he's there with his mum. He's too young to go to school or a project, but he will receive visits from a trained compassion worker who will encourage his mother, talk to her about good nutrition, and give some help with early child development insights, and encourage her so that he grows and develops well. And also have Mahoro, who lives in Rwanda. She's 14. And without the help of compassion and sponsorship, she may have to leave school, or she may have had to leave school, and help look after her siblings. She's one of 6. Or maybe she might face a hard time having to work for a living, in perhaps sometimes in difficult circumstances, or even face early marriage. And at the Compassion Project, she will be taught a skill, or maybe even be able to go on further with her education. And she is in year 8 at the moment, the equivalent of year 8, and she enjoys science, maths, and languages. You can fill in the form, or you can scan the QR code, or if you want to think about it later on, weeks later, you can go onto the Compassion website and you will find lots and lots of children's faces there. And the Compassion app on the phone is amazing. If you haven't used the app on your phone, I can show you. It's absolutely great because you can really stay connected. You can get Bible verses, you can watch little videos, you can see, oh, when did I last write to my child? Oh gosh, it was 2 months ago, I need to write again. Or you can see, what did they say last time? What did I say last time? It's all there on the phone, it's brilliant. And also, Compassion are really making good use of social media. I sometimes look at an Instagram feed and Compassion pops up on that. So it's really amazing what it can do. So what I want to do is show you a video. But before that, I want to just give you some prayer points. I think that's the next. Thank you very much. Great. So obviously there's lots of things we can pray about, but one of the things is that they ask us to pray about protection over children and families and communities. I was thinking particularly this morning of Haiti, because that is a country that is completely literally being torn apart. And I sponsored a young lady in that country. I stopped sponsoring, I think about 3 years ago. She got to 21. She doesn't live in Port-au-Prince, but she lives in a farming community, but she may have moved into a city to work. And I pray for her because I don't know what's happening. And also for the Compassion team in that country as well, but also other countries where there's unrest, maybe not in the whole country, but in certain areas they have to deal with. So we pray for protection and also to pray for a sense of calm and encouragement and support across all nations. Particularly where there are sponsored children, that for their well-being, for their safety, and to pray for wisdom of governments and those in positions of power that can make a difference to these children's lives, just simply by the way that they govern as well. So we're going to just meet Violet. The couple in the video I have met on Zoom fairly recently as part of a speaker's forum. And they actually get to visit their child. They are amazing. I'm showing you the video, not because I'm advocating that you go off and visit your child. That's really not possible in the majority of times. I haven't been able to do it. But because it shows so clearly the difference that sponsorship makes to the child and to the sponsor. And it's a relationship, it's two-way, and it's life-affirming, and it's a real blessing from God. So enjoy. Thank you.
I believe it's all about the one. If we can make a difference in one person's life, then who knows what that can lead to?
We take so much for granted in the Western world, and you know, when you visit a compassion child and you see firsthand, you realise what is important.
We're not able to see our compassion girls grow. We have photographs of them. Those photographs are side by side with our own daughters and our grandchildren.
Violet was quite little, and now she's 14 and growing up fast. So it's going to be quite exciting to actually see her in person.
This is, for us, a dream come true, to visit the girl that has been in our prayers, on our hearts, in our thoughts, for 11 years.
When the family gets a visit, it is actually a blessing. The child meets the sponsor, and the child can never imagine how ever see this person physically, apart from photos and communication in letters. But when there is this sponsor coming physically, wow, it's just breathtaking, and it's a blessing to the families.
When we were maybe 50 meters away, we could hear them. The windows were up, but we could still hear them singing their hearts out. She appeared out of nowhere. I didn't see it coming, but she just threw herself at me. And I don't think I will ever forget that moment. It was like we'd known each other ever since she was born, and that we'd been apart for so long.
You're not just sponsoring some random person who you never know anything about. Each child is known by somebody. They are cared for, they are looked after.
I think about the staff, how passionate they are to see these kids thrive and flourish.
We want to add value on these children's lives. That means economically, spiritually, they know what to do.
We only play a small part, but to see the day-to-day running of the project that provides hope, Violet, I will always remember that and remind myself that she's being cared for.
Looking at each person on that photograph that plays a part in Violet's life, and I think that was the thing that struck me, you know, that it's not just us, each member of staff plays a part in making sure she thrives, making sure she reaches her full potential. And that's what really struck me. It will really be treasured.
I realise that I can't change the world, but I know Linda and I can make a difference in more children's lives. The only thing that I know for sure is that our lives are not going to be the same again.
Thank you, Heather, for sharing all of that with us and for challenging us. But before we sing our closing song, I think it would be good if we could have a time of prayer for compassion. So if you know some of you as the Spirit leads could lead us in those prayers, that would be good for the children and the situations in the different countries, for the governments and those in power.
And it will be. And we can't really lose, Lord, can we, if we give him faith that you will provide the means for us to give. And I praise you, Lord. I mean, many, many years ago, when I was on a benefit, I did sponsor a girl. I was quite frightened of doing it because I wasn't sure that I would be able to continue. And yet, miraculously, Lord, I did. So I thank you for the challenge of this morning, Father God. We are so wealthy in this country compared to these kids, Lord, that just live in dirt houses, Lord God. And yet they're so charming, they're fun, they're lively, they're lovely. They're not bowed down so much by the life they live. We just couldn't do it, could we, here? So I pray, Father, that for so many, we will be challenged as Heather goes around the churches, Lord, and seeks us our help to change the lives of these precious children, Lord God, and introduce them most of all to a life lived for you, Lord. So just help us to have the faith, Lord God, that you will provide the money that we need to give to these children. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, as Heather said, she entitled her talk, Generosity Encouraged. And we have been thinking about financial generosity, because that's what that passage is about. But it also reminds us of the grace of Jesus and how through he became poor for our sakes, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. If you forgive the double negative, there's never a time when we shouldn't be thinking of what Jesus has done for us, of his grace to us, how much he has given us. But particularly as we're approaching Easter, we're reminded that through his death, we have received life, not only life in all its fullness on this earth, but eternal life. So yes, generosity in a financial sense. But when we think of what God has done for us, what Jesus has done for us, there is so much more that we need to be giving him. We need to be giving him our all. And our closing song reflects that. Maybe it's a big thing to be claiming, I will offer up my life, but he deserves nothing less. So let's stand to sing our closing song.
Glory, love me all above, as my Lord Jesus.
Jesus, you do indeed deserve our all. Lord, would you speak to each one of us about what we owe to you, and whether it's financial giving, whether it's sponsorship of a child, whether it's giving you our all, giving you our lives, Lord. Would your Holy Spirit just show us, remind us of how much we owe you, and challenge us as to what we offer you back in return. We can't repay what you've done for us, Lord, but you prompt us to give out of love for you, out of gratitude for who you are and what you've done for us. Amen.